Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jacob Road Productions.
Welcome to Unknown Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Kevin, of Unknown Paranormal.
This is Martin of Bravo Paranormal.
And this is a guy with a scratchy voice.
I got something for everybody. Here we go. Here.
Paranormal News, presented by the Unknown Radio Network. We can't really say who's presenting tonight because there are a lot of shows on this network. So now, paranormal news.
The news is, happy birthday to Unknown Paranormal Radio. The show, not the network, the show. This was the very first show that Jeff and I cranked up 2 years ago. And so we're celebrating 2 years of being on the airways. And Martin and Jeff are both sick tonight. So isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Tonight, I am the paranormal sick symbol.
The paranormal sick symbol?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I swear, man, the government's trying to take us down, dude. Like, North Korea blasted me with tuberculosis. I'm telling you. Bioterrorism. No, but you want to hear some funny news?
What's that?
I don't know if you know, but Jeremy Jones, his dad, has coined a new move. It's called the Richard Roll. And he has this video of... he's eating that Taco Bell, and he goes, "This is what Taco Bell food does to you." And he walks over to this little bar in like a handrail. He puts his leg over it, and he spins over this handrail like 10 times. Well, this video was uploaded like 2-3 years ago, and as of Friday, it has been getting 1 million views a day.
And
it went viral. Yeah, it went viral. He was on Good Morning America this morning.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's pretty funny.
Cool.
That's funny. The only thing viral around here is the sickness.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, my viral is way different than that one.
and not disturbs the sickness, because we're not down with this.
Well,
right?
I've told you numerous times, Jeff, you got to have the doctor do his finger up the butthole.
The head cold.
It might.
If that's all it takes, put me on mute real quick. I'll be right back.
What the hell does that have to do with a head cold?
I don't know. I had to get in at least one shot tonight because 2 years ago, that's all we were doing. So I had to do one in celebration of 2 years. So
well,
I'm
I
done.
Never take any shots.
Oh, man.
For everybody out there that is listening and will be promoting throughout the rest of the year, East Texas Ghost Con 2013, October 4th, 5th, and 6th in Marshall, Texas. You can look all the information up, www.easttexas, GhostCon2013.eventbrite.com. So there's a little plug for the GhostCon. I've been working on that. Working on trying to get closer to the ownership of the hospital. Right now I'm typing up a proposal. The other parties involved that are helping me out from the entertainment side of it. In fact, I had to send a notarized letter that I signed on insurance that they're trying to get for the building. So, getting closer.
Heck yeah, man, I can't wait. Because, a week before you open that up, I'm going to take a vacation and we're going to sit there for a week.
Hell yeah.
I
have the keys to that bitch. We can do whatever the hell we want.
I know. I'm gonna find the shadow person's room and I'm gonna go pee in it.
Well, the upstairs, the second floor is where there's three male entities and they're pretty pissy. They threw something at Jeff and the people that were with him. And for some reason, that coffin that's up there that they had for the haunted house, they don't like that coffin. So if you start messing with the coffin, they get pissed.
You know what I think I might do, man? When you guys get it, I'm going to go in there and do, photography. I think what I'll do is I'll go in there and get, one really good picture like I did of Old South, and then I'll blow it up to, a 20 by 30, and I'm going to hide it somewhere in that hospital. And whatever team comes across it and finds it first, they can take it home.
Hell yeah.
Put up on their wall.
Oh, and we have some other important news concerning one of our members of Unknown Paranormal. Congratulations to Shonda and Scott. Shonda announced last week that she is pregnant. And so we want to wish her and her husband all the best.
Cool.
Nice. And
so Shonda is going to have a little trendsetter.
Nice. It's going to be crazy because she's going to dye the baby's hair. The baby's going to have purple hair.
When I was on, I called in for about 20, 25 minutes Thursday on Ghost Hunting Textile with Justin and Kevin, and we talked about that. I was like, yeah, I wonder if the baby will come out with purple hair.
That was funny.
But yeah, man. The way life is, you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. It's been a crazy, crazy 4 days, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. And you'll enjoy our guest tonight. Deb Lynn, she's been a paranormal investigator for a good while and a medium, and actually her son is also a medium, and he's got a really interesting story about his past life, and I'll get Deb to talk about it a little bit, because I interviewed her last month on Terrify, and she's gotten the nickname Paramama. So, I look forward to talking to Deb again. And, some of the other, where are we at? Oh, I'm in May here. I got to turn it back. Yeah, and then next week we have, looks like we're going to have mediums all the rest of this month. Don Short and Sarah Harmon will be on the show the next 2 weeks. And then the 1st of May, Martin's going to get his mind blown by Natalie Poole and all of her technology that she's doing for the paranormal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Dude, you're going to go, holy crap, when you hear the stuff that her and one of her teammates is a engineer. So between the two of them, one's an engineer and one's a computer programmer. And so they can, program just like Jeremy does. So
yeah,
we'll have to hear some of the And I haven't talked to her since last fall, so I'm interested in seeing what she has accomplished since the last time I talked to her. But it's not every day that you get, you know, women in the field that are developing equipment, and I think that is just awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because you get kind of like, I don't want to be the one that says it, but you get kind of like gender bias when it comes to the technology. You know, because you're like,
yeah.
Oh, only dudes are interested in, you know, technology, but to know that, you know, there's other women out there who are actually working towards the same thing is pretty cool.
Yeah. I got into a more in-depth conversation with Brian Kano on Tuesday, you know, because we didn't get a full interview with him Sunday because of his phone. I told him about some of the stuff that you and I have talked about doing and some of the stuff that Jeremy's doing and whatnot, and he was just like, man, that's badass. That's what folks should be doing in the field. And he told me if I get a hold of that hospital, he wants to come.
Nice.
So that's pretty much all that's going on. Like I said, we got shows on Sunday through Friday on the network. the newest member of the group is Paranormal Access Radio on Fridays, hosted by Chris Taylor. And he took a break last week. He'll be back on this week. Jody Parks will be back Tuesday. She's been on break for the last two Tuesdays. So glad to have my co-host back for Terrify Radio. And we got... We're going to get a little bit off topic with paranormal on Tuesday. We're going to talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about football. We're going to talk about modeling and acting. So
nice.
A little bit change the pace, you know?
Heck yeah.
Well, do y'all know what today is?
What was that?
100th anniversary of Titanic.
101st.
That's what I meant.
Anniversary. And it's also the anniversary of when Lincoln was shot.
Oh, snap. Today?
Yep.
That's awesome.
He was shot in the evening. He died early the next morning.
I'm wondering, I may have to do that when I get off the show, is fire up the old spirit box and see if there's any talk going on about all that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to do the same.
If it's a day of tragedy, different time periods, you know, you might get some responses out of the ghost box about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been getting some weird talking lately, man. Like, the other day, Stacy asked if the box had any message they wanted us to have, and this lady comes on. She was like, live life like it's too important.
You're the most amazingly, astounding, wonderful girl, woman that I've ever known.
I am pretty amazing.
You know, for some odd reason, Jeff, I wouldn't put it past you to stand on the front of that boat the same way.
Now, Jeff, why did you have to play that? Because that did something to my dog, Molly. She jumped up on the couch when you played that and decided to... She tried to dry hop my back.
She's trying to be clever, bro.
While I was playing... Oh, my God.
She's
Holly,
like,
come lay down.
She's like, spread your wings and fly, Jack.
Oh, man. Well, before, I know you're sick tonight, Jeff, so I will.
Rose, you're the most amazingly.
Oh, man.
Oh, And just so that everybody knows, Deb will be our 94th guest to interview since we started 2 years ago. So that's pretty cool. This week, our guest is Deborah Lance, psychic medium, author, paranormal investigator. Deb has been blessed with this gift since childhood as a medium. She has the ability of empath, which means she takes on the physical and emotional emotions of spirits that come through. She comes from a long line of strong women in her family with these gifts. Her son Nick also has these gifts and works alongside Deb on many cases. She attends many conferences and has been nicknamed by other investigators as Paramama. Deborah conducts readings for those who seek spiritual guidance and who want to connect with a departed loved one. Deb has also been called upon to use her abilities to assist in cold cases and missing person cases. She is well sought after as a lecturer and guest speaker, teaching meditation classes, angel and spirit guide classes, to helping others learn to communicate with spirit. Deborah passionately believes that her job as a psychic medium is not only to help those to connect with their loved ones, but just as importantly, empower everyone to listen to their own internal guidance system. She can help you tap in your own psychic abilities, and God's gift to each and every one of us is our sixth sense and our eternal compass. Deb also has her own radio show called Your Spirit Beacon on ztalkradio.com. And you can also see Deb on skepticaltv.com. And that's our guest for tonight.
Nice.
Deb, are you on? And I believe we got two callers on hold, Jeff.
Hello? What?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
I think Jeff passed out.
I told you I had to step away for a second.
All right. I didn't know if Jeff had fallen asleep or what. I was reading the bio, and now I look at the board and see that we have two callers. One might be calling in just to listen, but our guest should be online here in a second, and we will start talking to her. Poor Jeff. He sounds like he's death rolled over. You still there, Martin?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Still hanging on.
And we have Debbie on the line now, Kevin.
All right. Deb, how's it going?
Good. I was wondering if I could speak to y'all's guest today. Oh, yeah.
Who is this?
This is not the Debbie, this is the guest.
How's it going?
It's fine.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
Well, that's good. So, man, I feel like I'm the only one talking. Martin and Jeff, you still there?
Yeah, no. I don't think you're not the Debbie that's on tonight, though, right?
No, that's what I'm the Debbie that's just calling in.
Gotcha.
Well, we will put you back on hold. Debbie hadn't called in just yet. We're waiting on her to call. So,
you want to
talk to Deb when she gets on here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we'll put you on hold for the time being.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
That's awesome, man.
I was like, what? I was kind of confused there for a minute.
I know, so was I. Like, my brain was trying to wrap around what was going on. That's why I was like quiet. I was like,
Oh, man. Let me see if this is Deb now. I will be right back. All right, we have Deb on the line now. Deb, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I got two co-hosts here that are both sick.
Oh, no. What's wrong?
Yeah. I think North Korea sprayed me with tuberculosis.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, I was pretty sick for like 4 days, but I'm getting over it today.
Well, it's kind of that time of year. Like, you know, you have really hot weather one day, and the next day you're bringing out your winter parka. That's how
right.
It is here in Central Ohio, so.
You know what's crazy is that I have the immunity of, like, I don't know. I'm really strong immune system, and I never get sick. But when I do, it's like deathly ill.
Yeah,
so it's just
you
one
need
of those
more
few
vitamin
times.
C.
Yeah.
Of course,
a lot of
it
water.
It didn't help, Martin, that earlier last week it was like 70, 80 degrees here in Texas, and then that cold front hit and it dropped it down to like 38.
Oh, right, like overnight, man. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy
and
weather.
Night, and then last night I woke up sweating in bed. I was like, God, sweat.
Well, Deb, for some of the folks that are not familiar with you, give us a little bit of background on you know, growing up and when you first noticed that you had some gift.
Well, yeah, this is a common question asked of me, and my answer is always the same. I was born this way, so I don't know of any other way of being. I really don't have anything to compare it to, you know, because from time I can remember, my earliest memories of are me communicating with spirit. So there is not exactly one specific moment in time that I can recollect that I can give an example of is when I had that, you know, that aha moment. Okay, I am really different because I'm seeing spirits and no one else is. But there are some examples I can give you of visitations from spirits that had a huge impact on me. And one of those was when I was about, I think, 10 or 11 years old, and my grandmother had just recently passed, and we'd gone to her funeral service, and later that night I went to sleep. I woke up in the middle of the night because I felt someone sitting on my bed, and I sat up, and it was my grandmother. And I'm like, Grandma, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. You're dead. And she laughed, and she's like, oh, you know better. And she goes, I just wanted to say hello, and I'll be around you. And she goes, don't worry. She goes, I'll always be with you. And she goes, I'm always just a phone call away. And I'm like, a phone call away? And my grandmother had a very quirky sense of humor. She's always a character. And so she goes, just call me at 323-DEAD. I'm like, what? And she laughed and disappeared. And my grandparents' actual phone number, the first 3 digits were 323. And so I'm like, what the heck? But, you know, when I dialed that number, of course, is a wrong number. But that's just my grandmother's sense of humor. Like, she made a joke out of it. So, you know, that visitation was extra special to me because that grandmother I was particularly close to. And it's from her lineage that I inherited this gift. My grandmother was, she called herself a seer during her time, but she could not come out of her psychic closet, as I say, because the time period she lived in and the constraints of her career. She was a teacher, and my grandfather was a teacher, and she could never fully come out. So, but my grandmother's around me all the time acting as a spirit guide, and she assists me when I do readings or I'm on a case. So I always feel her presence near. But to get back to that main moment of when I knew I was different, I really can't recollect any particular memory because, as I said, I was just born this way. What do you want to call it, a birth defect or a gift? I am what
right.
I am.
Yeah, and it's interesting that I found out through my experiences being in the field that I had a girlfriend of 3 years, and she passed away. Every psychic that I talked to, my friends that are mediums, they all tell me this thing. He's kind of like a spirit guide, a guardian angel around me.
Right.
So
right.
It's kind of interesting how loved ones, when they do go over to the other side, they in turn try to help their other family members or what.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a big mystery around death, particularly in our culture, not so much in other cultures around our planet, but in our culture, because we still haven't fully embraced death as being part of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to quote the Lion King, it is the circle of life. Where there's birth, there's also death. And I think as a society, we kind of stay away from funerals. I mean, you know, funerals are a huge buzzkill. You don't go there to, you know, be happy and joyous, even though technically the person who passed is very happy and joyous. But as a society, we really don't embrace death as much as other societies do. And when you die, your personality does not change. I can tell you this from personal experience. In communicating with spirits, their personalities are identical as when they're here in their physical form. So if you had someone who you're close with who passed, of course they're going to still want to hang out with you and help you. I mean, that's just how it works.
Yeah. And I look at it, you know, before I was kind of really fearful of death and all that prior to getting into the field, and now that I have all the experiences I've gone through, I realize now that death is just a transformation into, you know, you're still going to exist. It's not over, you know. You're just
exactly. And
so,
I always tell people it's like this. You know, we're all energy. And if you go back to your basic science class in high school, where you're learning about atoms and neutrons, and you know it's energy. Like you're sitting at a table or a chair. It's really not solid. They're little atoms and neutrons bouncing off each other. Well, that's energy. It's energy that forms that. So we are all energy. And going back to Einstein's law, you know, you cannot kill energy. You cannot destroy energy. It can only transform. Well, that's the same thing with us. We're energy. There's a spark within us. And I refer to that spark as God's light. You know, when you're born, what makes a baby open its mouth and take its first breath? What makes the heartbeat? What's giving it instructions? The brain? Yes, but what starts the brain? It's that spark of light, God's love for us, that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we shed our physical shell, that energy is not destroyed. It simply transforms and back into our home, back into what we are true beings, which is beings of spirit. So
mm-hmm.
for me, you know, it. When we're here in our physical form, it's like being at summer camp. You know, we're all here at summer camp right now. But when our time at camp is over, we get to go back home. And that's a very joyous occasion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I look at it as through all the things I've learned. It's almost like we're here to learn, or here to experience, you know, because every one of us in our own lives have our ups and downs, and that's just part of the life and learning at summer camp, you could say, until we go back. It's
right,
you know.
Right. I believe we're here to learn for ourselves so that our soul can progress. And progression, the point of progression is so we can become closer to God. And so, you know, they're going to get a little bit into reincarnation, but I really didn't believe in reincarnation until my son was like 12 or 13. He started having these strange dreams that we started researching and found that my son did, in fact, have a past life. And so I feel that we are reborn over and over again while we learn these lessons. And I think it's really interesting how God has us all set up.
Yeah. What was interesting, you know, on it gets more impact in your life, I guess you could say, when it's more of a personal message from someone that you know and love, and they come to you in spirit. And like my girlfriend, one day I was here with my friend Mike, who's a medium, and he started describing her, and he had never met her before, and he started talking to him, and he was telling me what she was doing, and she held up the Bible, and she said, this was written for man, this was written for y'all, but over here we live by a different set of rules. And and that really kind of, you know, jolted a lot of thought process in me of how everything works, you know?
Exactly. I mean, I can't wait to be called home on the other side, actually. But I'm in no hurry because I have my life lessons to complete here, and I hope to have grandchildren someday and to teach them as my grandmother taught me. But on the other side, all they know is joy and love and laughter. And wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live? I mean, can you imagine just learning and hanging out with friends and going to concerts and whatever you enjoy here in your physical form, you get to do on the other side as much as you want. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would.
Yeah. That's what was really interesting about her visit was when she first appeared to Mike, she was holding a margarita and was sitting at a table drinking a margarita. And that's so her, you know, and that's
right.
What she was doing as she appeared to him. And I was just like, well, she's enjoying where she's at, you know, she's in no more pain.
Right.
She's drinking a margarita.
Exactly. That goes right back to what I was saying earlier in the show. You know, your personalities do not change. I'm telling you that right now. And I've done readings where spirits have come in, and I'm sitting across from a client who's getting emotional as I'm describing this spirit to them, and it's connecting with them. And the spirit has, like, dropped the F-bomb, and I'm always like, wait, should I tell him what he just said? Should I keep it to myself? But, you know, when a spirit says it, and, you know, I'm talking about spirits who've crossed over into the light, when they say it, it's not from a place of negativity. It's not from a place of anger. It's amusing. They're saying that so that the person who I'm doing reading for it'll hit home with them. It'll connect. Like, oh yeah, that sounds like my grandpa Bob. He was, you know, cussed like a sailor, and I'm like, well, he still does. You know, it's amazing to me, and I never realized that because as a child, I used to think, well, you know, maybe they become angels when they die, and I really wasn't sure who was visiting me. I wasn't really able to put it together. But I think it's a wonderful gift that God has given us is that we get to keep our personalities. I mean, think about all the lifetimes you probably had here on this planet. They've all, you know, accumulated to who you are today. I wouldn't want that taken away from me. And I think that's really neat that we get to keep our personalities.
Yeah. And when I talked to you on Jody's show, I thought it was real interesting because I'd never heard about your son's story about reincarnation, and I thought that was just fascinating, whole scenario. You know,
it really is.
Birthmark. Yeah.
Yep. It still is, and, you know, we have some upcoming things, very exciting things related to that past life, my son's, which I can't talk about yet. But if it comes to fruition, it'll be amazing. But, you know, another strange thing that happens is we started discussing my son's past life in our lecture series. We started discussing actually in 2011, and we did it a little bit in 2011, then we did it in 2012. I said, now, year 2013, we're going to mix up our lectures a little bit. And he agreed. We had this other lecture all ready to go. But at every event, everyone's like, oh, you guys are doing your past life lecture? That's what we wanted to hear. So, like, okay, so that's what we've done in 2013. But recently, at these lectures, it's been really bizarre because we've had situations occur that are developing this past life even further. What I mean is, I don't remember if I talked about this on Jody's show, but we were at an event in Kentucky called Dead Winter. And a gentleman we had met previously at conventions, an acquaintance, I really didn't know him, I can't call him a friend because I really didn't know the young man, was singing our lecture for the first time. And Nick is describing this town in Indiana that you know, he came up with in his dream called Baltimore, Indiana, which is not in existence today. It was only in existence during the Civil War. And he's describing it and describing, you know, the river that it was next to, blah, blah, blah. And after a lecture, this young man comes up to Nick and me and goes, I live in that town. And we go, are you kidding me? He said, no. And the population of this town during the Civil War has not changed from what it is today. I mean, it's like less than 2,000 people. Now, we're in Kentucky, keep in mind. So what are the odds of that? And to also add to the story, when Nick first met this young man, he goes to me, he goes, Mom, doesn't that guy look like he could be a reenactor? I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, I could totally see him like in a Confederate reenacting outfit. And Nick goes, yeah, it's so weird. And when Nick first met him, he's like, hey, dude, are you a reenactor? And the guy goes, no, man, I'm not into reenacting. Nick's like, oh, that's cool. So, I mean, you know, we're already kind of picking up a little bit that we're envisioning this young man in a uniform during the Civil War. And then this guy comes up to Nick after a lecture and is like, I live in that town today. Now, we've never run into anyone from this little itty-bitty town in Indiana. I just think that's, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. So I believe everything, every situation, every experience happens for a reason. And for us, that just helped connect the dots even further. And I think helped validate even further that this past life thing is real.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know I've done some some reading up on past lives, and one of the, I want to say Buddhism talks about it a little bit, but they say that you keep coming back to continue to learn lessons until you're done learning all the lessons there are to learn. So that
right.
was pretty cool.
Right. Right. And I can tell you from conversations with spirit, what they tell me is when you're on the other side, and I've said this 1,000 times, but God's grace gift to all of us is free will. Free will.
Yeah.
And that free will choice is not taken away from us when we're on the other side. So we can choose to reincarnate or we can choose not to. But if you choose not to, if you choose to stay on the other side, your progression is a little bit slower. It's like all of us here who've incarnated, we're all badasses, okay? Because it takes a pretty big set of balls to want to be, you know, incarnated here, because life is tough, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what a wonderful family or career you have. Everyone has their issues. Every single person has issues. Every single person has suffered. So when you choose to reincarnate, you've already jumped up ahead of the class, so to speak. Like, we've skipped a couple grades.
Yeah.
towards our graduation by willing to be incarnated here as humans. But there is no judgment on the other side. So God's not judging our souls whether we choose to incarnate or if we choose not to. That's totally our choice. Some people have had, I've done readings for clients who've had like 12 incarnations, which is shocking to me. Like, they have not been here that much. And I always recognize those souls pretty easy because they're like, they have a look of like deer's caught in the headlights, you know what I mean? Like, they're in shock. Like, what the hell am I doing here? And then you meet other people who you know, have had multiple lives here because they have very, very old souls. So it's just, I think that's really neat that choice is not taken away from us, so.
The only way I would reincarnate is if Jeff reincarnates so I can make his life hell again in the next life.
I don't think I want to come back. I think I'm done. I'd rather be on the other side and just, you know, play and have fun for a while.
You know, that is a hard question to answer, whether or not you would want to come back, you know? I mean...
Right.
Because everybody has their ups and downs in this life, and, you know, you only get one chance at it, but, I mean, what to a person determines whether or not they want to come back? Like, I think what
determines it is, you know, if you had just gotten, if you're new to the other side, like you just passed away and you're back in your spirit form and you're doing your life review and you're thinking like, oh shit, I did not learn that life lesson again. Damn it. I'm going to have to go reincarnate again until I get this right. Or they can say, you know what, I banged my head against this wall too many times. I'm going to see if I can learn a lesson here on this side for God, but it's going to take me a lot longer. I mean, seriously,
right.
That's what I pick up from spirit.
It's like how many hangovers can you have before you stop drinking?
Exactly. So, you know, some of us are slower learners than others. Some of us get it right away, you know? And some of us are pretty stubborn, so.
Yeah,
and, you know, and I always try to explain, especially when I'm dealing with clients, you know, they always have that pre-notion that that heaven is up, you know, up towards the sky. You look at the sky, that heaven's out there, and hell is beneath us. But really and truly, they're all around us, right? That's where the doors open and close, where spirits come and go. From both places, and you know, and what I found that out because an angel, I was actually standing in the front yard of Mike's house, and an angel came to him, and Mike and I were looking up at the stars, and he goes, "Why are you looking up there? We're not up there."
Right. And yeah. I explain it to people in my classes. I'm like, you know, I was taught as a child going to Sunday school that heaven's up in the clouds and we're here and below us is hell. Well,
yeah.
That's not really true. They are right next to us, and the best way to explain it is like a curtain shear. We're on one side of the curtain, they're on the other side of the curtain. That is how far away they are. And I tell people, you know, when someone passes, when they die, it's very, very sad for us. Not for them, for us. But the moment that you think of that person, they are there. It's like an instant telegraph to them, and they're there. So,
yeah, I totally. Yeah, I'm here.
I just heard, I was like, ksh, 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 so I didn't know if you heard me.
Yeah, I totally believe that. And a lot of times, and I've told this to clients as well, you know, if you're going down the road and you happen to turn on the radio and a certain song plays that was your mother's favorite song, you know, at that moment,
right.
She's there with you, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, those are just little things that they do from the spirit side of things to let you know, especially if you're in a rut or having a lot of bad things happening, you know, they do little subtle things to let you know, hey, I'm here.
Right, absolutely. They always want to let us know that, you know, to not take ourselves so seriously. I mean, that's the main message I've been picking up from Spirit a lot recently, like, you know, get over yourself. Life is much bigger than you, and enjoy it while you're here. And, you know, when we have these little stressors in our lives and the big stressors, they're immediately there, just as they would be here if they were here in the physical form. They want to comfort us and let us know that everything will be all right. And it's truly amazing, even for me as a medium, to have validation or to have signs, physical signs, not just see them, in, you know, whispering around my home, but to actually have physical signs. What I mean is like, you know, a clock stops working, you know, or a favorite thing for many spirits is change, like dropping change, you know, coins, or like the summer after my mother had passed, my son was seeing our family room, and my husband and our bedroom is on the first floor, and our bedroom is behind our kitchen. So our family room, it's our family room, our kitchen, and then behind the kitchen is our bedroom. I'm sitting in bed, and my son's in the family room, and all of a sudden I look up, and there's this flash of light in the kitchen, like a lightning bolt just went off in our kitchen. I mean, it was that bright. And I'm like, holy beep, 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 like, like. And my son's like, Mom, did you see it? I'm like, yes. What the heck was it? Because I have no idea. I mean, it was so bright. It was just like a flash. And then my son all of a sudden goes, Mom, don't you know what today is? And I go, oh, it's my mother's birthday. So my mom had enough energy to manifest something here in a physical form, which that just touched my soul so much. Like, I know she's around us a lot, but to see something that bright and, you know, for everyone to see it, my husband's right next to me, he's like, what the hell, is amazing. And so we all like to have those signs here in our physical realm, whether it's a song on the radio, a flash of light, some change, you know, it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Right. And, wait a minute. Oh, I'm having some computer difficulty here. But yeah,
oh, that's
right. Now I lost my train of thought. Yeah, just the validation. And, you know, sometimes when clients call us, you know, they're freaked out because some things are happening or whatnot in their homes. And they naturally think it's something evil. They think it's something really bad. And
right.
You start interviewing them and start talking to them, and you find out that it possibly could be someone in their family that is trying to communicate with them, trying to let them know something,
right.
You know, something that they
right.
never said to them. So, you know, a lot of times I have to tell them that, and we finally get the – not only do we – use psychics, you know, but we also use all the equipment, and when we can get EVPs of their loved one, you know, and they're like, oh my God, that's his voice, you know, and then message to a psychic, it kind of helps them close that chapter and move on with their lives.
Absolutely, and honestly, and this sounds strange coming from someone who works in paranormal, but very few homes have what I term ghosts, you know, which refers to spirits who are earthbound. Most of the, quote, hauntings are not earthbound spirits, but spirits who chose to come back to pass a message along or maybe just to hang out on our side for a while. I mean,
right.
Once you cross into the light, you can come back and hang out on our earth realm whenever they want. So, you know, if I had the power to hang out on the other side whenever I want, you better believe I would. But for us here in our physical form, we don't have that ability. The closest thing we can get is through meditation or astral projection when we sleep. But, you know, most hauntings that I've gone on, most cases that I've gone on, I would say 60% to 70% are not earthbound spirits at all. It's just spirits coming in, checking in their old home, or maybe it's their aunt who passed away, just want to come back and check on everyone. I mean, but because of all these paranormal TV shows and all these, you know, scary movies we've grown up with, we kind of have an image in our head of, you know, every bump, every sound, every deep breath is going to be something negative. And it's so rarely the case.
Right, right.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, I had a client several weeks ago call me and, you know, the first word out of her mouth was, I have a demon in my house. And I said, well, let's stop right there. You don't know what you have in your house. Otherwise, you wouldn't be calling me in the first place. So we don't know yet. I haven't been there to tell you what it might be. So let's talk. Let's stop all that talk before you invite one of those things in your house. So
right.
Let's
right,
start from
exactly.
the beginning and and let's gather evidence and let's see what's going on in your home, you know, because there could be multiple things that could be going on, you know. And I've talked to several people about, you know, even when teenagers go through, you know, their puberty, they have the power to influence the environment and create poltergeist type activity, from what I've, you know, experienced and talked to other people. So, I mean, those things can happen, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And our thoughts, I mean, like you just said, you know, adolescent children have lots of energy. Getting back to the energy discussion, you know, if you can go back, travel back in time, remember what it's like to be in middle school. For me, those are the worst god-awful years. You feel awkward, like you're transforming from a little girl to a young lady. You don't know what's going on, and that energy builds up. And so, this, you know, think of middle school, all that energy in middle school. How crazy is that? But energy is energy. I mean, energy is energy. And I just got off working on a case where they thought the home was haunted, but it wasn't. This lady had created her own energy from her own depression. She had had several losses in her family, which made her very depressed. And her depression had built up in this home over the years until it had manifested almost into a shape of a man, but it was an unintelligent being. It was just unintelligent energy that was very, very negative. But it came from her. It came from her own energy that she had created, which is kind of hard to understand, but it does happen. You know, energy is energy. That's the best way I can describe it. You know, our thoughts carry energy. Our words carry energy. So if you're living in a depressed state for years, like this lady had, where does that energy go? It's right there. So yeah. It just built and built and built.
Right. Yeah, and you know, the simplest example of how us as humans affect the energy in an environment, I always try to give them examples. Like, say you're at work and you go into a room where the boss is chewing out one of the employees. You feel how thick it is, the energy wise. You know, some stuff's going down in here. You know. And,
exactly.
And it's the same way in a home. If there's a lot of arguing, a lot of dysfunctional things going on, it can create that negative, heavy vibe in the home.
Yes, which can cause illness. It can cause plants to die. You know, this is another scientifically proven fact. If you have two plants, and one plant you play wonderful soft music to, you express kind, loving words to that plant will thrive. Take the other plant, and this is not to devalue metal music, because I'm a metal fan of the 80s, and play hard, raspy, you know, hardcore metal music and cuss and say violent words in front of a plant, that plant will wither up and die. That's a proven fact. So,
yeah.
You know, everything is energy.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I never noticed it before until I became a paranormal investigator, was when I clean my house and, you know, get it really clean and whatnot, not only do I guess I've made my energy more positive, right, because you feel good about what you've accomplished, but your entire... Your home feels more positive, and it's just like
exactly.
You change the energy.
Exactly. And, you know, I tell my clients this, if they have a particular negative energy around their home, whether it's intelligent or not, the first thing I ask them before I even see their home is, like, do you keep your home picked up? Is it neat and tidy, or are you more of a collector? Are you a hoarder? Do you have boxes of stuff around? And, you know, 9 out of 10 times, no, my home is pretty messy, I'm disorganized. The first thing I tell them is get organized, get clean, you know, throw away stuff you don't use, because it helps your home feel more organized, which helps you feel more organized. And if there is a negative entity in your home, an intelligent negative entity, negative entities love hiding in chaos and in darkness. So they love sneaking around in dark places and cubby holes. So if you eliminate that in your home, that tends to not make it as fun for that negative entity to hang out in your home. And I tell my clients to bring in live living plants into their home. Literally bring the light back into their home. You know, pull open the curtains, open the windows, get that fresh energy in your home. It really, really does help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, you know, and another thing that I first wondered, but now that I've been in it for a good while now, I've noticed that with people with gifts, right? Of course, we all have gifts. It's just some are more in tune with them than others.
Right.
I also see that those things are passed down through generation to generation, just like your son has gifts as well.
Right. Right.
When did you first kind of know that your son had something?
Oh, gosh, I knew that from the first time. Well, when he was born, the day he was born at 11:57 p.m. And the next morning, so he's less than 12 hours old, my mother is holding him in her arms, and she had a necklace on. His eyes are wide open. He's focusing on her. He'd look at me. He was focusing. I mean, most newborns don't even open their eyes. And he reached out and grabbed her necklace, grabbed the lock on her necklace and was playing with it. I'm like, holy cow. I knew right away he's an old soul. So I'm thinking, there might be something to this kid of mine. And then when he was like, old enough to crawl around, and you know, you put your toddler, your little babies in those seats with the rollers on them, look like space chairs or something, and they roll around your house because they're not able to walk. He would zip around our house, like zip to this one corner of our home, and look up and point and laugh, and you know, talk gibberish like baby talks, like la 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 la, and laugh. I'm thinking, well, he's saying something. And then when we moved from our first home into our second home, then my son started expressing that he would see colored balls of light floating around his bedroom at night. I'm like, okay. But for me, in that stage of my life, I was not comfortable with him having this gift because my experience growing up with this gift was not positive. Because I grew up in an era before cable television, before internet. And my generation really wasn't open to this, so I got negative feedback, and I really wasn't ready to accept that my son had this gift either. And I would kind of poo-poo it a little bit, like, oh, you know, you're just seeing things. And then finally, I just thought, you know what, he's inherited this gift. I'm doing what was done to me. And unconsciously, though, I'm like, that's it. I said, we sat down one day, I said, look, this is what's going on. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, all right. So, you know, it's fine, Mom. I'm like, all right, we're cool. But, you know, he's always seen spirits, just like I always saw spirits from the time as a baby on, so.
Right. And, you know, the more you get into being a parent, I always said this when I started, I was psychic like a rock. The more communications are people that are mediums and psychic but not, the more I learn how to open up and see things. I've actually started, you know, every now and then I'll see an apparition, and you know, people that have gifts are like, you saw that, didn't you? And I'm like, yep. You know,
right.
So I believe that if you tap into some of this stuff.
Well, for me, it's like when I work with other psychics who are truly gifted and who are authentic And let me just say this, not all psychics are authentic or truly gifted. I've met some of those people in the paranormal community, and it's very distressing. But when I work with psychics who are truly authentic, it only heightens my own abilities. It's like charging up our batteries, so to speak. And all of us in the room are in tune. And it doesn't matter if someone's never had a paranormal experience before in their life. If you're with me and we're on an investigation and we're all open to it, I guarantee you'll have an experience. It just happens every time. So I feel like, you know, when you start exposing yourself to people who have gifts, you almost can't help but start having your own intuition heightened, your own psychic senses awakened. Because,
yeah.
We all have this ability. God gave us all this ability to communicate with spirit, to get a heads up in life, to guide us through life. But it's like a muscle. If you don't use it, it grows weak. So I teach classes on reawakening everyone's psychic muscles to start flexing them and working those out a little bit. It's absolutely true. You start going on investigations with people who are truly gifted, and you just can't help but experience it yourself, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, that's the way our group was. I mean, we had two knew that they had some sort of gift, but they always were in denial of it and always, they debunked themselves, basically, you know. They
right,
had the skeptic
right.
side and had the psychic side, but they always counteracted each other, so they really didn't trust what they were getting. And then we had one that has been dealing with this all his life. And through the years, it's all kind of rubbed off on all of us. And, you know, I can go into a place. I know one of my senses that's really heightened is the sense of feel. I can feel when there's energy in a room. I can feel when there's a spirit there, whether it's negative
right.
or positive, you know, and I never had that before, but now I've learned to trust it. I learned to use my body a little bit more. And, you know, it's just interesting how all of us in our group have heightened our senses just being around these kind of people that have dealt
right.
with it.
Right. And that's a wonderful gift. And I'm glad that you're recognizing and acknowledging this, because once you acknowledge this, it only brings in more. You understand? Once you
yeah.
admit it to yourself, once you acknowledge it, once you recognize that you have this ability, that will only heighten your senses even more. So
yeah.
That's wonderful. And I always encourage people, and I have a wonderful friend named Joe who's on Z-Talk as well. He's a skeptic. He's on Skeptical Edge. I love him dearly. And it always cracks me up when he says, oh, no, this is a bunch of crap and hooey. And then he'll be out with me and I'm like, do you see that? Yes. I'm like, ah, gotcha. So, you know, it's just amazing. And, you know, once you acknowledge it, you can't help but have more and more experiences. I don't know exactly why that is, but for me, when I teach psychic development classes, and I say once you get your first validation, it's like a door opens in your mind that you can never close again. You can ignore
mm-hmm.
it, but it will never go away.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, Martin knows this. When he's been with us, it seems like, and I think, you know, because people are like, well, how do y'all get some of the things, the experiences y'all have or evidence that y'all get? And I try to explain to them, it's just because they're attracted to our energy. We go
right.
in, we don't put on a front, we just go in as we would, you know, any day of the week with our personalities, you know, and crazy stuff happens. And we get tons of EVPs a lot of the times. And that's the same with Martin and his wife, Stacy. They get a lot of evidence. And I think it's the person, the investigator, you know, the spirit decides whether or not they're going to even talk to that person, you know. They can say, well, right. I just stand here and not say a thing, and they can talk to the air all night.
Right, right.
Right, right.
And I've been on cases where I know there's spirits in the room with us, but they're not saying anything. And you have to just kind of, like, warm them up to you a little bit. And, again, it goes back to spirits are just human beings, like you or I, who shed their physical form. So, you know, if you walk into a stranger's home, you start screaming at them to do this, that, and the other. If I were that spirit, I'd hit the road, like, I'm out of here. Or you can react the other way and start scaring the crap out of people. But the best way is just to be polite and introduce yourselves and compliment their home, ask them about their lives. I mean, everyone likes to talk about themselves. So that's how I get spirits to start communicating with me if they're particularly shy. I just start saying, so tell me about yourself, you know. Tell me about your life. Tell me about what you did. Tell me about your children. And that usually starts getting the conversation flowing and the EVP is flowing. But, you know, so many paranormal investigators who come strictly from the perspective of they want hardcore scientific evidence, everything is from the scientific perspective, they don't consider that these are human beings. And they start bringing all this equipment in and setting all this stuff up. I'm thinking, guys, the spirits have just hightailed right out the back door because you're invading their home, bring all this crap in, and you're ordering people around, telling them to set this camera up here, this camera up there. They've left. You have to come in with a more gentler approach and more courteous and polite approach, and you'll get much more, you know, results.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Martin and I have had this conversation before because we were at a house in Monticello, Arkansas, which they've done my ghost story and whatnot, and that place is just crazy haunted, but none of the spirits there are bad. It's a good feel, and they're very talkative if you're respectful to them, and we've investigated that place twice, and the second time we were there, or the first time we were there, we were setting up our DVR, and Mike kept going, the spirits are not real happy about the cameras. And I said, okay, well, I'll make a deal with them. So when we were getting ready to start, I made an announcement to the house, and I said, for the spirits that are here, I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to record for the first half of the investigation. The second half, I'm going to give your home back to you, and I'm going to turn the power off on it. And we got validation when Mike was telling us that they didn't like the cameras because during the setup we had an EVP recorder running, you know, like we always do when we get to the place. We turn them on, we walk in the door. And we had two spirits talking. One of them says, where's the camera? The other spirit goes, it's over there. And the first spirit goes, I'm out here.
Right. Right, that's a perfect. That's an absolute beautiful example of what I was talking about. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Martin and I have talked about the fact that maybe spirits don't like those eye lights, that it's blinding to them a lot of times, or it chases them off.
Exactly. That's so very true. I mean, again, they're human beings. You know, if you're sitting around your couch having a conversation with, you know, your husband or something, all these people come in and they start flashing cameras or chatting up a storm. I personally find that rude, offensive, and irritating. So I'd be more open to it if they came in very quietly and they said, excuse us, you know, my name is Joe Smith. I'm here to document and hear about your life. If you would be so kind as to share with me a little bit about your life here, blah, blah, blah. And say, oh, well, please have a seat. Let me tell you about myself. So, I mean, you just have to always keep in mind to try to walk in their shoes. That's the bottom line is try to walk in their shoes a little bit. And I have gone on investigations at events where the investigative team is all about provoking, and I had no choice because as one of the celebrities – you know, they're paying me to take these people out on investigations. So I just put my game face on and smile while these investigators are, all right, I want you to do something, prove you're here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm very, very quiet, and I just say a quick prayer, please, God. You know, have everyone have a good time and be peaceful. But it's upsetting to me as a psychic to watch people approach investigations from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I was in the house, you know, as a spirit, and then somebody came in my house with flashlights and cameras and stuff, and they're like, you know, what's your name? I
right.
totally do it so many times before I'd be like, oh, God, get out.
Right.
You know?
And then, again, this kind of gets back to what I was saying earlier. I mean, I'm a little bit of a mischievous person. So if someone comes to the house, okay, I want to know who you are. What's your name? What are you still doing here? I would think it'd be hilarious to play pranks on them, to mess with them and say, my name's John, even though I'm a woman, just to mess with them. Because it's all about being courteous and polite. And I guarantee some of those EVPs on investigations, the ghosts are just laughing up a storm at us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God, you are so effing stupid. I told them my name three times. They're still asking me my same name. I'm just to make up a name. I'm a demon. And watch how these people freak out. And then everyone's like, oh, my God, there's a demon here. And they go running for the room. The spirits are on the corner cracking up. So,
I'm totally going to be messing with people when I pass over.
Of course
yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
Of course, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, just
you know,
turn the radio on.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, and they from both angles, they have a great sense of humor, and I know this one spirit. We got like 55 EVPs from the same spirit, and it was during setup at this location. We left the recorder sitting at the table at home base where our equipment was, and this dude was chatting up a storm. And
yep.
he was making fun of just about everybody there. And it was just funny, you know. And then I know in that same location, we were up in the attic, and somebody farted, and we got a DVP of the spirit going, ew.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
You know, and then We've been at other locations where we were in Yorktown Memorial Hospital in South Texas, and a team that we were with decided, you know, we had tried to warn them about that there's a pretty evil spirit down in the basement, very powerful, very old, ancient, and as long as you don't go at him and provoke him, you know, he pretty much won't do too much. He'll try to pretend to be other spirits, but for the most part, your investigation won't be so bad. But no, we were down in the basement. 30 seconds into the start of the investigation, they started provoking. And which Mike was seeing some spirits, you know, good spirits that were in the room, and they were kind of mentally handicapped or whatnot, and these people are talking all kinds of mad shit. He was just like, they don't even know who's here, right?
Right.
And
right.
We're going to call out the bad one that's down here. So we, you know, and I'm the founder, and I'm sitting here going, how do I get us out of this situation, you know?
Right,
so
right.
I stopped him for a second, and I said, hey, we're going to go to the other end of the basement, and we'll keep in contact with you and see if there's stuff going on down there, right, just to get us out of the room. We went down to the other end of the hall, and Mike sees this thing coming out of the wall with his lovely red glowing eyes. He smiles at Mike and laughs and says, this is going to be fun. And you see Mike says he walks down the hall, goes through the wall, and it wasn't 2 seconds after it goes through the wall, we hear him go, holy shit, because all kinds of stuff started happening.
Right, right.
And people were getting sick, getting scratched. you know, and one of them, it was up her ass the entire night to the fact that she couldn't investigate any longer. And we told them, and, you know, you ask, you shall receive.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It always amazes me when people are like, you know, push me, scratch me. I'm like, oh, shit, here we go again. And then when it happens, they flip out. I'm like, well, dummy, then quit saying stuff like that. Or it happens to someone right next to them. I mean, it, you know, just as you said, ask and you shall receive. And another thing that happens a lot of times is for really sneaky spirits who really have a mean streak, they'll follow you home. They may not do anything at that location, but they're biding their time, and they will follow your ass home and mess with you in your own home, and that is really freaky. So
you know, I never asked to have stuff follow me home. It just, you know, it comes with the job, you know. But there's been a couple times some stuff has followed me home, and I was kind of like, okay, man, it's time to pack up, and you gotta move on.
Right. I've said to spirits, ha ha, okay, you're a funny guy, joke's over, and I'll hit the road. But, you know, spirits are just humans. They're having a good time. They're thinking, well, you came in my home, started to ask me questions, I could check out your place.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not a big mystery if you try to look at it from their perspective.
Right.
Tell
people that are new to the paranormal the one no-no you shouldn't do, because I had some people that wanted to join. Well, I took them out one night, and this one guy, he had seen all the shows on TV, and I was like, dude, don't ever use anything you see on the television set as what you do in real paranormal investigating. Because
right.
He announces to the spirit that was talking to us through the ghost box, he announced to the spirit, hey, if you are here, can you please come over and use my energy? Oh, you never say that.
Yeah, no,
you
never say that.
And, yeah, he got sick, he got drained, all of his energy got drained out of him. And I had to explain to him later, I was like, dude, you don't say that. They will do it. And that's an invite into your body.
That's exactly right. And that can lead to, oppression, not possession, but oppression,
yeah.
Which I've suffered from that myself when I let my guard down, where a spirit gets so close to your own energy or in your aura that your moods start changing and words come out of your mouth that you don't know where they come from, your personality starts changing. So you never, ever say, use my energy. I've never uttered those words, nor will I ever utter those words.
Yeah.
Ever.
No. I'll tell them they can drain all the pieces of equipment that are throughout the place. They can do that
exactly.
All they want. That's my energy.
Exactly.
Oh, I know, man.
Exactly.
I have enough problems having energy. I'm not going to suck my energy.
Oh, you tell me about it. We were cleaning up our yard today. I'm like, I'm getting so old. I'm so out of shape. I'm like, my back hurts. My legs are shaking. So, yeah, I don't have enough energy to share with a ghost, let alone function in my own life. So.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and you know, what you said earlier about spirits following you home. I still, to this day, it's been 2 years since I've been to the Allen House, and my friend Alan Bonner is still here at my house. He won't leave, but he's not doing anything. He's a good spirit, and everybody I've talked to said that he's just attached to your energy. He loves your energy.
Right.
You know, you got good energy, and you kind of broke the attachment he had with the home he was in. So he just hangs out here. I keep telling him he needs to pay rent, though.
Just wait, because he'll start dropping coins.
right, or at least help with the dishes or something. But, I mean,
right.
Spirits do it like other people's energy. Just like, you know, you meet someone for the first time, you like that person. Like, hey, I really like hanging out with that guy. He's really cool. Same thing happens in spirits. Like, that guy obviously really enjoys you. He thinks you're a fun guy, so he's going to come hang out with you. Whether you invited him or not, he's going to hang out there. So I would say next time you sense him around, you say, look, once you help out a little bit, finish my laundry for me, you know, go pick up the mail, do something. And I guarantee you something will happen. Now, obviously, Spirit is not going to be able to physically go out and bring your mail in or actually do your laundry. But, you know, things do happen. Like you might find a sock next to your washing machine that you know you did not place there. Or you might find the envelope on your door, dropped by your door. I mean, spirits like to have fun. So if you put that request out there, you might be surprised that something funny might happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I have somebody once told me about that change thing, and I really never paid too much attention to it. But ever since I've known about it, I'll tell you, man, like every now and then I get change just show up in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, I was, you know, go back and be like, okay, what did I investigate last week? Who's here?
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
Yeah, it's definitely a good determining factor because I almost weekly I just have random pennies show up anywhere, and even outside, like I'll pick up change outside, and then the next day there's like more change outside. I'm like, what?
Right, right. Now, oftentimes it's usually like your spirit guide likes to do that, or someone, you know, who's crossed over into light, a relative will do that just to let you know that they're around.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good
like
to know.
When my mom passed, she really liked watching birds and butterflies. And my mom had just passed, and we were sitting on my front porch with my dad and Nick and my daughter and myself. We were painting our front porch just as a family project. This was literally 1 week after my mom's services. And it was ungodly hot out. Like, we were all dripping with sweat. And all of a sudden, the most beautiful blue butterfly came over and landed on my dad's knee and just sat there forever. Nick's like, oh, my God, Grandpa, look at that. And we sat there and watched this butterfly just sat on my dad's knee for, like, 15 minutes. I'm like, Dad, that's Mom seeing that butterfly. I mean, you know, you don't, spirits don't become butterflies or birds, but they can send animals. And that
right.
was such a wonderful gift for us. And my dad started getting choked up. You know, my dad's a big, big guy, old school guy, used to cry. And he's like, that's nice. We're all laughing. But, Dad, this mom seeing that butterfly just to let us know she's around us right now. So they send butterflies and birds and change. And for us, we just have to start paying attention more, because the more we pay attention to that, the more things they'll show us, the more they'll come around. I don't know how or why that works. I feel like it gives them more energy
mm-hmm.
to do it. I don't know why, but I just feel like it gives them more energy to do it.
Nice.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, animals have, you know, I've been in locations where there's animal spirits, you know. And,
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's a lady, I've done a reading for her 3 times, but I've, like, the space between each reading is, like, years. This reading was, like, year 2000, and last one was 2005, and my last reading I just did for her last month. And every damn time I did a reading for her, this big gray tomcat in spirit comes around her. So, you know, animals cross over too. You know, they don't just die and that's the end of them. I've got a whole corral of animals on the other side waiting for me. So animals cross into light just like you and I.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe your one dog, Martin, won't be such an ass.
I don't know. It's probably going to be a good millennia before I give it up.
Yeah. What's some of the locations you've been to that have really had a lot of activity in, or you've gotten a lot, not only with yourself gift-wise as readings, but, you know, like you said, the validation you get from evidence or physical things being moved.
God, I have got zillions of them. Surprisingly enough, they're not so much the big famous locations. Most of them are just like private residents. A case I worked on like 4 or 5 years ago, I walked in his home and I immediately knew her husband passed. I'm like, he's right in the room on my right. She's like, yes, that was our bedroom. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in there by myself. Everyone just bring your equipment in and leave. I didn't want to talk to this guy one-on-one. And the woman's like, no, he was very abusive to me. I'm afraid he'll hurt you. I'm like, honey, he's not going to hurt me. So I went in this room with the digital recorder. I said, I want everyone out, turn the lights off. I sat down on the floor. I had this heart-to-heart discussion with this male spirit, who is still a complete ass, by the way. But once I explained to him that, you know, he has to cross the light, blah, blah, blah. So after we had this one-on-one conversation, I did not hear the digital recordings. The founder of this group took his recorder home. The next day, he called me. He's like, Deb, this is the most amazing EVPs I've ever heard because you clearly hear me speaking, and then you hear this male voice answering. I mean, like it sounded like I was saying directly across from a man's physical form. It was the most amazing EVPs ever. And so this guy, this male spirit, he kept waffling back and forth, like, you want to stay here in the physical realm? Like, no, buddy, you have to cross into the light. Your time here is over, blah, blah, blah. And actually, his father-in-law came from the light to take him into the light. And he'd kind of get mouthy with me. I'm like, buddy, I don't take crap from men here in the physical form. I sure as hell not taking crap from you, blah, blah, blah. So he started, like, charging at me. I said, don't you even dare hit me. And he goes, I'll hit you if I want to. And you hear it on this recording. It was flipping amazing. And that was the most unbelievable EVPs I've ever had. And this guy, I was a member of this group for a short term. And then when I left the group, unfortunately, he took down the EVPs. And so I just recently contacted him. I asked him, do you still have the EVPs? He saved part of them. And he sent them to me via an email. I do have them on my laptop. I would like to have those put up on my website eventually. My son is actually my webmaster. So when he gets home from college this summer, I have him work on it. But it's just amazing EVPs that we picked up there.
Uh-huh.
And trying to think of other – oh, we were on a – this is a funny investigation. So I'm not allowed to reveal the location because it is a business and the place still runs a business there. But one of my clients who I did readings for asked if I come out to her business and do investigations. So I round up a group and my son was invited to go along. And we go out there and it's this old barn. I believe it's pre-Civil War. I think it was built like the early 1800s. A huge barn. On the first floor of the barn is a business. And then the second floor of the barn is just how it was back then, just a floor with this ancient farm equipment hanging from the ceiling. And, like, it was kind of scary. And, like, all this equipment along the side. And so my son went up to the second floor first. It was he, the business owner's son, and two other investigators. And as they were leaving, as they're coming back down, there's just this little hole in the floor, and this is a very narrow staircase. They're all going down the stairs single file. Out of nowhere comes this old, old cookie tin, hits Nick in the back of his jacket, and falls to the ground. And Nick's like, what the heck? Everyone jumped 5 feet in the air. Like, and the business owner's son said, I have never seen this cookie tin. I have no idea where it came from. They still to this day have no idea where it came from. So that was interesting.
That's crazy.
But I can't think of that many right now offhand. I'm sure I will as soon as we hang up. But you know, I'm just thinking of a couple that stuck out in my mind.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to physical things, that two different ones I can remember. One, Martin knows, when we were at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, there was two sets of keys on this table down in the basement, and there's a spirit of a janitor there, and he didn't like his keys being messed with. Well, we grabbed one set of the keys that were on the table, and we tossed them onto the floor, and there was an IR camera in there as well, and we just left. We went to the other part of the hospital, and later that evening, we went back, and the keys we threw on the floor were still there, but there was a third set of keys that just came out of nowhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
That's strange.
And I think later on that night, we found an old box full of keys, like they were, like, way out of the way in the middle of nowhere.
yeah, we did.
Like, if the keys would have came from that box, it would have taken some effort to get to where they ended up at.
Yeah. And, then we were on a few of us went to South Texas to this function that National Paranormal Society was doing, and it was a public deal, and my guys were leading an investigation, and it was this old ghost town, and there was this old three-story mansion of the guy that actually financed the building of this old town. And it's real creepy. You know, it's like something out of a horror movie. When you walk in, it's just so creepy looking. And in the front parlor, there on this coffee table was these two books. And we were just, you know, we weren't touching anything. And we were looking around. I turned my flashlight on, and I was like, what is this? And I look on the front of it, it said, The Devil's Dictionary, and I had a picture of the devil, and I'm like, I was like, what in the hell is this? And there was a bunch of crazy stuff going on in the house, and you got that the house kind of shifted its energy, and it got real nasty. Well,
yeah.
After we left, everybody, my group, we had the key, so because we had to give it to the next group that's coming. We had to lock the building up, and then the next group that was coming in, I had to give them the keys. So I locked the building up, and I went down there to where everybody was, and I handed the keys to Mike. He was making the next group, and I said, Mike, go in the front parlor, some satanic-looking books on the table. He goes in there, and those books are gone.
No way.
Yeah.
They are gone. They were there when I locked the building completely up, and he unlocked it, and those books were gone. And then a little bit later, a little Mr. Nasty decided to reveal himself to Mike, and then Mike came back, and he told me, he said, he did that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And those are just some of the crazy things I've seen. You know, we're going back to this place next month in Arkansas. It's a 10-story tuberculosis hospital that had 25,000 deaths in the time it was open. And last time we were there, one of my EVP recorders, I gave to one of my team members, and he had it, and he put it in his pocket. And we get back to home base, and I'm trying to get all my equipment put up. And I said, where's that EVP recorder? And he's searching through his pocket, nothing, you know. And I thought he was fooling around with me. I said, dude, come here. And I pulled his pockets inside out, and he had nothing on him. So we searched that entire building, couldn't find anything. So when I walked out the building, I announced to the spirits, I said, hey, if y'all got my EVP recorder, can y'all return it to me, please? Well, we had a five-hour drive. We drove back. I was in another vehicle, and my friend that he was supposed to have the EVP recorder, he was sleeping. And the guy in the front was driving, and he started hearing my voice. And he's like, what the hell? You're not in this car. And the guy in the back woke up, and he reached into his pocket, and there was the EVP recorder.
No way. It is amazing how spirits can transport port equipment, how they can, I think the word is aport. They can take something from our physical world, take it on their side, like make it disappear for a while, and then bring it back, and then bring it back. I think that's an amazing ability. And that also shows whoever, whatever spirit did, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, I think it's called the Skull Experiment. I think it's what it's called.
No.
It's pretty cool. It's a group of people that got together like every Sunday at like a certain time to try to connect with spirit. And I think they got together for a total of 500 times. But after a while, they started getting some like really crazy, insane results and stuff, you know. And but there's this one spirit that they came in contact with was trying to explain to them what spirit was made of, you know, like, you know, what they were essentially. And so the spirit had asked the guy to place a crystal in a bowl. And so the guy places a crystal in a bowl and he goes, now touch that crystal. And the guy tried to touch the crystal, but he couldn't. His fingers kept going through it, you know. And then
that's weird.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, I could physically see it, but I can't touch it. And then the spirit was like, okay, now go ahead and touch the crystal again. And the guy was able to pick the crystal up and look at it, and it was a physical crystal again. And that spirit was like, that's what we're made of. He's like, you can see us, but you can't touch or feel us. He's like, that's the only way I can explain to you, you know, that your mind can comprehend, you know, what we're made of.
Right.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Again, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. I mean, you know, what we feel is physical is just actually an illusion. I mean, tables, chairs, buildings, rocks, they're not solid. They're little atoms bouncing off each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That form the shape of a chair or whatever. So, you know, calling something solid or 3D is actually an illusion of our own making. So that's really interesting. I've never heard of that. I have to look that up.
Yeah, it's I think you can actually download the whole thing off of YouTube. It's called the Skull, SCOLE experiment.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely worth a watch if you hadn't seen it before. It's pretty awesome.
No, I'll have to check that out. That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one thing that I've decided, and my team agrees with me. We're kind of going backwards on what we're doing this year. We're kind of testing theories out that all paranormal investigators say or do, you know, whether it's passed down to them or they caught it off the TV, you know, like, oh, this house was made of limestone. That's why there's activity here. It holds energy. Well, we're going to start testing limestone. We're going to start testing water. We're going to start testing fire. You know, those kind of things. And use all the equipment to test the environment, but actually go backwards and test the elements that God put on this earth. Because before 2 meters and all of that, the Native Americans had none of that, and they were very spiritual people.
That's very true. That's very, very true. Now, Native Americans did make medicine bags where they would collect certain items that had deep meaning to them and use those as like talismans for protection or to cure illness. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I get, like I was talking to Martin at the beginning of the show, I'm getting closer and closer to getting ownership of this abandoned hospital about 30 minutes from my house. And if I get that place, man, the things that not only will my team be able to do, but other teams around here or anywhere in the United States, if they want to come down here, because I'm going to turn that thing into a place of research for teams and whatnot.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
I applaud you for doing that because I think especially, again, going back to the fact there's so many, you know, paranormal movies and paranormal TV shows, everyone wants to have their own paranormal group. But in dealing with the paranormal, you have to be cautious. You have to be careful. You have to protect yourself and use certain guidelines. So anyone who's willing to teach others from their own experience is wonderful. And I applaud you for that, because I see so many of these young groups, you know, forming, and like, oh, nothing scares me. Oh, nothing's going to get me.
Oh,
I'm like, buddy, you better watch your stuff.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have seen people scratch. I have seen people smack. I have seen people shoved downstairs. I mean, they're human beings with human emotions, so.
Yeah. I knew there was something up my first year in the paranormal when the team that I belonged to before this, because that was one of the reasons I got away from that team, but we were at a residential, which you're not supposed to be provoking. Of course, I was a novice, so I was just going with the flow. And
right,
there was something demonic there because of the fact of how much evil crap was going on, and the fact that me and two other investigators were standing in a bedroom, and in one instance, you know, it was like this, you can kind of hear it on the camera, it kind of sounds like a wind, and I felt something hit me in the back and go through the front of me, and it knocked all three of us out of that room onto the hallway floor. And
wow.
And then when I'm painting up the camera, I got that footage. I never posted it on YouTube. I'm going to have to put it up there for people to check out. When I'm painting, when I'm trying to get my, because I'm trying to figure out how in the hell I just ended up on the floor. And I get up, and my camera's kind of painting up in the doorway of that room we were just in. And the camera, the door's kind of open a little bit, but you could see through the crack where you can see the wall behind the door. And you see a shadow of a hand pointing, you know, down that hallway as if to say, get out.
Wow. That's an amazing piece of evidence.
Yeah, because we had a DVR camera in that room pointed at that general direction of that wall, and it did not pick that up at all. But on my camera, you see it behind the door of this hand. And I was like, whoa. And then it wasn't 10 minutes after that, it decided to drop its sulfur bomb and, you know, make it smell like rotten eggs in there. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was,
I don't like to focus on the negative aspect of paranormal investigations, but anyone who's thinking of becoming a paranormal investigator during a team needs to be aware that there is a negative side. And I always encourage everyone, if you ever attend an event where Archbishop Long is speaking, to listen to his lecture. Nick and I were blessed enough this year to be asked to participate with Bishop Long in his lecture at Scarefest. And actually, I didn't find out I was speaking with Bishop Long until literally hours before we were supposed to go on stage. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, oh, you'll be fine, Deb. Like, Bishop Long's lecture is amazingly frightening. But it also is amazing in the fact that God's power is the most powerful power out there. But if you don't know what you're doing, bad things can happen. And Bishop Long's lecture is pretty freaking scary. But I feel like everyone really needs to hear that if they're a paranormal investigator. And, you know, if you don't know who Bishop Long is, James Long mentored under the priest who was the young priest who worked on the demonic case in Illinois, the case that the movie The Exorcist was based off of.
Yeah.
And so he really does know his stuff when it comes to dealing with those types of entities.
Yeah. And like I said, that was back when I was first starting. And so that goes like a smack in the face going, hey, where there's good, there's bad. So you need to be careful.
That's exactly right.
You know, you need to be careful. Not everything is fun and games like you see on television. And there are dangers. There are things that can happen. They can follow you home. So, you know, it's not just a hobby where you can just have a good old time if that's what you're wanting to do, because you can get yourself
right.
a big pickle.
Right. And I always tell young, especially younger people, like, you know, my son's group is based in Athens, Ohio, and also Delaware, Ohio. And he gets literally dozens of applications a week saying, I want to join your group. And my son's like, we're not taking one right now, but I'll keep you in mind. But because Nick knows instinctively these kids are just out for thrill seeking, and I think it's cool, I think it's fun. And the first thing Nick always asks them, a new applicant, is, you know, why do you want to join? Well, I think it would be a really awesome experience. I always like getting scared. Then Nick, like, tosses the application in the garbage, because if you're approaching this from the perspective of you want to be scared, it'd be a fun, neat hobby, a good way to meet chicks, go join a bowling league or something, because for us, it's not a hobby. It's a calling. It's something that we're called to do. And and James Long and I have sat down and had a long discussion about this. I mean, this is his calling, as this is my calling. So if you're becoming a paranormal investigator because you think, oh, I love getting scared, you know, I want to see if I can get my own TV show, really, that's not the right approach. You try to find another hobby, honestly, because once you've been on an investigation where you do have to deal with those negative entities, your life has changed forever. I'm telling you about my personal experience. And you'll never look at life the same way again. It's one thing to read about negative entities. It's another thing to come face-to-face with one.
Yeah. And that's interesting you said your son has a group in Athens, because my entire family is from Athens.
You're kidding me. Well,
my son
is a student at Ohio University. And by the way, he absolutely loves OU. I'm not sure if it's so much for the academics as it is for the social aspects. But he's a smart kid. He qualified to be in the honors dorm next year. So whatever he's doing, it's working for him. That's all I care about. But you know, a big factor in him choosing to go to Ohio University was the fact that it is the most haunted college campus in our country.
Holy cow. I grew up in Athens. My brother was born there. I was actually born in Wilmington, Ohio, but my parents moved back to Athens. My dad and mom, all my family, grandparents, everybody lived in Athens. And I remember I think I was like six, and there's a park down at the bottom of the hill where that mental hospital is, up on the top of the hill.
It was
in operation. And I remember sitting on the swing bed swinging and hearing women screaming at the top of their lungs from up on top of that hill. And I kept asking my dad, I was like, what is that? And he's like, that's where crazy people go, basically.
Really, really creepy. What a creepy memory to have as a child. But Nick told me that mental asylum, which in essence that's what it was, it was actually started in the Civil War. It was one of the first hospitals set up for post-traumatic stress syndrome, which that term came from the Civil War. They actually just decided, State of Ohio just decided to close this mental facility. And they literally, like, one day said, we're closing, everyone go home, including the patients. So they just set them all free. And, you know, to this day, Nick swears that some of his mental patients are just walking around downtown Athens. He goes, Mom, I tell you, I've seen some of them. And, you know, that's pretty scary to think, like, you know, if you've been locked away in this mental institution, And then just to be told, all right, we're letting you go back into society. Well, hello, they're in a mental institution for a reason. So if I had lived in Athens, Ohio, when that place closed down, that would have terrified me.
Yeah, we had moved to Texas by then, but Dad worked for the phone company there in Athens, and he actually had to go up to that hospital and work on their phone line several times.
Creepy. Yeah, and, you know, they let these patients go. It wasn't like they let them go in the 1950s. It was the 1990s.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking just a couple decades. So, like Nick says, Mom, I swear to God, there's this guy who sits on the street corner and plays a little kid's piano every day. And he's like, this guy is not there. Like, he's not really there, you know what I mean? Because I know that guy was released from that mental institution. And Nick has done so many investigations at the Ridges. You cannot physically get inside the building anymore.
Yeah.
But just walking around the perimeter, Nick's got some pretty freaky EVPs. You know, he's just like, it's pretty scary. And then Nick met a police officer. One day he saw this guy writing a ticket for someone. So Nick goes, oh, let's go over and shoot the shit with this guy. So he walks over to this police officer and introduced himself. Well, this cop used to work security for the Ridges and gave Nick his business card and phone number and said, man, if you ever want to get in there, call me. I can probably get you inside.
Nice.
Unfortunately, Nick is so busy, he doesn't have time. But I said, buddy, you need to get on that. So the Ridges are pretty freaky. And the dorms, I mean, it's not just that's the most haunted, famous haunted locations of OU, but I can tell you right now, the whole campus is freaking haunted. Like the day we moved Nick into his dorm, the day we moved Nick into his dorm, we're going up this elevator. I'm like, there's someone in the elevator with us. And then a couple weeks later, Mom called me and said, there's something haunting our floor. Because every night at like 3 a.m., he has this mom banging on his door, which that's not common in a dorm, right? But every time Nick jumps up, there's no one outside. There is no one in this hall. Everyone's asleep. And it wasn't just happening to Nick. It's happening to his other dorm mates in his hall. And, like, it's just really freaky, some of the stuff that he said has happened. But it's a really haunted location. Really, really haunted location.
Yeah.
So he loves it. He loves it.
Dad and I have always talked about that since, because Dad's in my paranormal team as well. And we're like, man, we got to go back to Athens one day.
You absolutely should. And, hey, if you ever do come up to Athens, give me and Nick a call. I will be over there in a heartbeat. I absolutely love the campus of Ohio University. We love Honking Hills. We hike there all the time. So, you know, seriously, if you ever are in Ohio and you have a bug up your butt to visit OU, you know, hit up on Facebook. I'll be there in 2 hours. I absolutely love Ohio University campus.
Sweet. Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, Deb, so anything you want to promote or put out there, website-wise?
Well, I just released my first meditation CD, which is called Meet Your Spirit Guides. It is available on my website, which is simply yourspiritbeacon.com. And the CD is on my homepage. As you pull it up, you'll see it. So that's my latest project I just completed. And I'm getting requests to make a second CD. So I'm in the process of figuring out what my second CD is going to be. But this first CD, I used to teach it in my meditation classes, and my students would ask me, you know, do you have a CD? I'm like, no, I just made that up on my head. And so finally I just sat down and wrote it out and had it produced, and it's literally sold out. So it's a pretty, pretty neat CD. So that's my latest project.
Cool. Thanks. Well, it's such a pleasure to talk to you again, Deb.
Yeah, I absolutely love talking to you. And, hey, if you're ever in Ohio, seriously, call us.
Awesome. Oh, I will. Our roots are up there. That's where all my family still lives, so definitely.
That is so wild that you're from Athens, Ohio. Who knew?
Yeah. So,
all right,
you
guys,
have a...
this has been an absolute pleasure talking to you guys. You guys are a hoot. And good luck in everything you do, and good luck with teaching things at your tuberculosis place. Yikes. But anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure, and have a good night, guys.
All right, have a good night.
All right, later.
Later. All right, that was...
More than $2 trillion.
Why is my computer playing advertisements now?
One of the top five life insurance
companies in the world. Anyway, that was Deb Lance, paranormal investigator, medium. From Ohio, my stomping ground. Now, that's cool that her son's going to the university in the town I grew up in.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, dude. She ain't lying when we say that place, that whole town is haunted. It was,
really?
It was, most of the buildings there, even the campus, most of those buildings were built in the 1800s.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You want to talk about a city that's got a lot of old buildings? That place does.
That's awesome.
Yep. And, Jeff, you still with us? You fall asleep.
Oh, I'm still here.
Poor Jeff. Well, we hope you do, Mr. Jeff.
Oh.
Yeah. Jeff's not feeling too good.
No. And I'm not going to work tomorrow either.
I don't blame you. Take a day off.
That's the spirit, man.
see if I can get in to see my doctor tomorrow.
Yep, I would.
I'm already going to see the doctor on Tuesday about my blood work, but maybe we can bump all that up a day.
There you go. But at least you and Martin were troopers. Being sick, you still came on for our 2-year anniversary.
Yeah, man.
Woohoo!
I cannot believe it's been 2 freaking years. Time flies by.
I was actually going to do a happy birthday song for the intro, but as you can tell, my voice is not, I can barely speak, let alone sing.
Right.
So I didn't have it.
Oh, man. You would have sounded like an old drunken bum tonight.
Martin, you want to read what I actually posted on Facebook earlier?
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's funny.
Jeff said he feels like, I want to verbatim this one because it's pretty funny.
Yes.
Let's see. Says, I feel like an angry rhino came to my apartment and had its way with me. I don't know.
Pretty much.
I told him, I said, I told you not to wear gray sweatpants out in public.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Well, everyone, tune in tomorrow for Into the Darkness Radio with Brittany Johnson and Matt Masaryk. And Tuesday, we are going to be talking to a very, very beautiful woman and very, very active in wrestling and football and Playboy and just about, God, if you read her bio, it's just crazy. But we'll have Lana Starr on the show Tuesday night. And then Wednesday's Full Spectrum Radio with Matt Masaryk and Dennis Eastlock. And Thursday's Ghost Hunting Texas Style with Kevin and Justin Eric from Fort Worth Paranormal. And Friday we round off the week with Paranormal Access Radio with Chris Taylor. So that's the lineup for the week. I hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show. Next Sunday we will have Don Short, a psychic medium as well. So we've been delving into psychic mediums, but it's always cool to hear every one of their stories because every one of them is different. And they all bring different aspects and their views. That's why I like talking to psychic mediums, because they're communicating with the spirit world, and I always want to know what the spirits are telling them. So,
yeah.
And that was a good burp.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Nice. I was making room because I was actually kneeling over to put my shoes on.
Nice.
Well, we hope that, Jeff, you get better. Good luck at the doctor. Hopefully he'll give you a shot in the butt and you'll be better. And Martin, continue to get better. Hopefully North Korea is not doing chemical warfare on us and trying to get us all sick.
Man, I know, right?
So we're going to... Tonight, I will play the music to get us out of here, but everybody have a good night.
Play tight,
Dan. Have a great night, everybody.
Radio.com/unknownpg. You are in.